本がどちらにあったジャストミ
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat podcast here at MLWRadio.com, your podcast all about the world of Puro Rezo, the Japanese pro wrestling. I am your host, Strigger. I am back again here this week with my co-host, Dylan. Dylan, what's going on?
Oh, it's a beautiful day today.
It
early
is.
In the morning. Yeah, early in the morning for me.
Yeah, right.
Still beautiful here.
Still beautiful noon in Germany. This past week, we had a show last week, we have a show this week, and from now on, we will always alternate the shows with Tamatonga's Tiki Bar. And, just when we recorded our show last week, we learned of the passing of Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest a man in history, I think you can say, not only one of the greatest boxers in history, but really one of the greatest personalities in history. And there is, of course, a history of Muhammad Ali in Japan. I will quickly go back to the year 1976 when Antonio Inoki created the King of Sports slogan that is still visible on the New Japan logo today. And he created the Real World's Martial Arts title, which we talked about when we talked about Andre the Giant in Japan on this show already. And the fight Muhammad Ali had against Antonio Inoki is in Japan sometimes, or even outside of Japan, viewed as the birth of modern MMA. Which is kind of a revisionist history, because it wasn't really supposed to be a MMA fight. It was supposed to be a worked wrestling match. Maybe you can say that the real birth of MMA might have been the Antonio Inoki versus Willem Ruska fight, when they met in a different style fight. It was called Different Style Fight, because on February 6, 1976, the pro wrestler Antonio Inoki faced the judo gold medalist from the Olympics in Munich, 1972, Willem Ruska. They had a match that involved heavy grappling, and so maybe you can go back and trace MMA back to this match. Going back to the Ali match, Muhammad Ali was granted a $6 million payday. And I looked it up. The first row seats in Budokan, where the match took place, on June 26, 1972, were 300,000 yen, which would right now be $2,800, which is ridiculous. The fight was promoted by Vince McMahon Sr. in the USA, and he arranged a closed circuit airing of the fight at the Shea Stadium in New York and in cinemas all over the USA and in the UK. And it wasn't really successful because the fight itself was a disaster. I think everyone who saw that match was glad when it was over. The match story should have been that Inoki was going to blade. Ali would back off, and Inoki then would hit a enziguri and win the match. And from an American standpoint, Ali would lose because he would feel compassion with his opponent, while from the Japanese standpoint, Inoki would have shown his fighting spirit and went through the blood that was coming from his forehead.
It didn't really quite work out that way.
No, and the one version of it is that Ali's camp refused to lose the worked match, and of course, Inoki's version is that Ali was told the match was going to be real, and the boxer was then intimidated of Inoki. This is, of course, the Inoki version of it. As I said, the fight itself was a disaster because of the rules that were very much a compromise between the two camps. Ali was allowed to take down Inoki and strike on the ground, basically the first so-called ground and pound rules, maybe. And Inoki was not allowed to take down Ali, and Inoki then fought the majority of the fight on his back, and kicked Ali's legs, and that was it basically. 15 rounds, 3 minutes. It was declared a draw in the end. And in fact, there was some form of a reenactment of this fight on May the 5th, that is Children's Day in Japan during Golden Week, but I have no idea what they did to reenact this fight. I didn't find anything about this. And also, Inoki plans to do a so-called World Martial Arts Day on June 26th this year, which is, of course, the 40th anniversary of the fight Ali and Inoki had. But there are still no details about that either, so I have no idea what Inoki is planning there.
Hopefully, he reenacts this fight yet again with a new player.
Oh, yeah. Kota Ibushi recently said he wanted to reenact the fight.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I was just thinking that same person.
We were a little bit on Ibushi later, but then there was another tragic death in the fighting world. Kimbo Slice died at the age of 42, I believe, this week too. And
yeah.
If you heard the MLW flagship show this week, they briefly talked about Kimbo Slice agreeing to a pro wrestling match in Japan, but they didn't really have the exact time frame. So I thought I could give the exact time frame of that. The match was going to happen on February 5, 2011. And Kimbo Slice was supposed to fight Shinichi Suzukawa. Shinichi Suzukawa is a former sumo wrestler who was thrown out of the sport because of the use of marijuana. And this match was supposed to be for the IGF heavyweight title. But the fight fell through because allegedly Kimbo Slice had an injury, I believe in fist injury, his camp claimed. But in reality, this all dates back to a fight, match/fight Shinichi Suzukawa had with Mark Coleman a couple of months before that, on September 25, 2010. Was supposed to be a pro wrestling match, but Shinichi Suzukawa and his camp decided to shoot on Mark Coleman. Phil Baroni told the story once. Phil Baroni said that Coleman was supposed to win in 3 minutes. He tried to win via submission. He squeezed Suzukawa, and then, this is Baroni's story, then he was kind of gassed. And I saw the match back then, and Shinichi Suzukawa then proceeded to just slap him in the face repeatedly and punch him in the face with open palm strikes, and Mark Coleman's face was really, really ugly at the end of the fight, looked ugly, and he basically gave up. He lost the fight due to a verbal submission, and this match became a shoot, and Kimbo Slice's camp was then worried that this might happen to their guy too, and they didn't want to take the match after hearing about this Coleman deal, and pulled out due to this alleged injury. And this was supposed to be the pro wrestling debut of Kimbo Slice after I think he was released from UFC and declared his MMA career over. And due to these ramifications, this never happened, which would certainly have been very interesting, because Kimbo Slice in pro wrestling sounds awesome.
He's a natural fit, or he was a natural fit for wrestling, and I would have loved to have seen what he could do in Inoki's group, but it just never came to pass, obviously, for those reasons. Very, very shades of Inoki's story with Ali. And yeah. Kimbo playing Ali. He was just too intimidated by the Japanese.
Very similar, actually, and yeah, that's quite the story here. Yeah, and we just briefly talked about him, Kota Ibushi. He recently had a match in IGF, which sadly hasn't made air anywhere yet. I'm actually on a daily basis checking the IGF site if there is anything about a air date for the show they had on May 29 in Osaka, when Kota Ibushi beat his former DDT colleague Tanemusaku Toba in 8 minutes. Both were wearing boxing gloves, and Ibushi did a total Kota Ibushi match, doing all the flips, doing a Pele kick, doing anything he always does in his matches, and it just looked awesome, and I want to see the match.
I'm looking at this card right now for IGF.
Yeah.
And in addition to Ibushi's match, we've got quite a list here. Ryoji Sai and Shinya Aoki are on opposite sides of the tag team in the main event. I had no idea if I looked it up. And yeah. That sounds so ridiculous, but awesome.
This card is completely ridiculous. We have the Shooters in the main event, and we also have the indie guys from Osaka and from the Kyushu region. Right, Bear Fukuda, Kuga, Magnitude Kishiwada, yeah. Naoki, Sakurajima, Hitaman, Sasaki, and so on and so on. So, completely crazy card Inoki put up here.
I can't believe that Inoki would even do this. And we've seen even though the show hasn't aired yet, we've seen some fun pictures online of Ibushi getting slapped by the Great
yes.
One himself.
Yes, he has now the Inoki powers.
Well, he told us before he debuted on the show that his goal was to learn from Inoki.
Yeah.
And I think if one thing we could say he learned, it would be if he becomes a promoter, how to work his attendances
yes.
to excellent effect.
Because you guys, we talked about the Noah show that was one day earlier, one day prior to this show. Noah announced an attendance of 1,932, I believe. And IGF announced an attendance of 6,325. And when you compare pictures from both shows, the show that IGF put on, it didn't look like they had many more people in attendance than Noah.
Inoki.
Yeah. Inoki. But as you said, Ibushi was doing, of course, Ibushi was doing research for his Kota Ibushi Research Institute on this show.
I hope he learned a lot of things from this experience.
I'm sure he did. But yeah, switching gears from IGF, Ibushi was announced that for the WrestleOne show on August 11 in Yokohama, not only Ibushi, but also the great Sasuke is working this show alongside, of course, All Japan's Jun Akiyama. And this is now quite the lineup for a WrestleOne show.
I love it. We still have not seen the true main event, which is what Kai will be doing on that show.
Of course.
But in terms of Ibushi, as a secondary star to him, I think he's facing Sasuke, correct?
I don't know. They were just announced for the show, I believe, with his graphic. I don't think there was a match announced yet.
Oh, okay. The graphic made it appear as they were facing
yeah,
each other.
Yeah, but I will check. I will check right now.
I got unnaturally excited about that match. I hope that because we know one thing that old man Sasuke can do in this day and age is do crazy things, and that's right up Ibushi's alley. If anyone's ever seen Sasuke in his Great Space War matches in Impro, he's still just as wild as ever, as you remember him, and Ibushi's obviously insane, judging by his comments.
Obviously.
Yes. Judging by his comments outside the ring and his work, we know he's kind of crazy. But we love him, though. We love him. I say that with so much love and respect.
And this would be another great chance to do some research facing the great Sasuke, but I don't believe that this match is scheduled for the show. Let me just go check on the Wrestle One.
Maybe they can be a tag team.
Maybe they can be a tag team. Maybe it's going to be a tag match, a six-man tag match. But as you said, Kai is the Wrestle One champion right now. He is facing the winner of the Wrestle One Grand Prix. That's taking place this month as well. And I just don't find the card right now. So maybe on a later point we can talk about that show.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get back to Wrestle One eventually.
Eventually,
with Kai,
yeah.
The superstar, Kai.
Definitely. But yeah, so this show is taking place on August 11, and it won't prevent Ibushi from taking part in the Global Cruiserweight Classic. But he still wasn't announced for this tournament, but everyone is basically expecting him to be in the WWE Cruiserweight deal.
Yeah, he should. Hopefully he continues to go on his journey and his path and learn from all of these legends and all these respective wrestlers before he heads to America.
Yeah. So I have the card in front of me right now, and Ibushi is not scheduled to face the Great Sasuke. Sorry that you got so excited, but maybe the match is still happening. Maybe.
Yeah, they haven't said it won't happen.
Right. So this leaves a spot open for them. From there, going to another promotion, going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. New Japan Pro Wrestling finished the Best of the Super Junior this week. And I have one question for you, Dylan. The finals, Ryosuke Taguchi versus Will Ospreay. Was this one of the best junior matches in New Japan in recent memories?
In recent memory, absolutely. I think Taguchi proved himself yet again in this tournament. He's got a lot of good publicity online. A lot of people were surprised, as we talked about last week, that he's actually as good as he is, even though we went over that he was always kind of this good. But he, in this match here, Ospreay brought such a different dynamic to them. I've actually liked a lot of Taguchi's matches when he's given the chance. Even earlier in this tournament, he had a great match with Kushida. I thought this was probably the best match of the tournament so far. I think it says a lot that Taguchi could come back from his character that he played and bring this style of match and look so good in it. And Ospreay, obviously, he wrestles his style, but he's done a good job of doing different things, I think, depending on the opponent. Like, this match with Taguchi was much different than his match with Ricochet or the match he had previously against Volador Jr.
Yeah.
The night before. So I was impressed with Ospreay doing different things. And there was a lot of passion in this match, I felt like. The finals, they really tried to make it seem like they were going all out for this win. Obviously, this tournament had gotten more publicity online than previous years and more positive reviews. So, long story short, pretty much, I enjoyed this match a lot. What did you think, Struga?
I enjoyed this match a hell lot. And yeah.
That's not a real word, I don't think. Go on.
I went back to thinking about last year's final. And I think I enjoyed this year's final more than I enjoyed Kyle O'Reilly versus Kushida last year. Last year I expected a great match, and I got a great match. This year I went into this match without any expectations, and I just sat back and watched what the two were doing. And as you said, there was a great deal of emotions in this match, and it was basically Taguchi's hometown crowd, as he always did a parody of the opponent he was facing in the tournament. He had did a parody of Gedo, for example. He did a parody of Bushi, for example. And here, Will Ospreay always came out with his, in this match, came out with the Union Jack. And on the other hand, Taguchi came out with his tiny flag of his hometown of Iwanuma in Miyagi in Japan. And so, this crowd was so into this match and also into the entire show, really. All the matches had great crowd heat. For example, the Los Ingobernables versus Chaos tag match, where the fans
really enjoyed that match.
Chanted both for Naito and Okada. Really, all the Chaos versus Los Ingobernables matches on this tour were excellent. And did a great job for Sanada and for Yoshihashi. In spite of always being the one who tapped to the skull end or being choked out by Sanada, I think Yoshihashi showed great personality on this tour, which a lot of people just don't see. You know?
It's so frustrating. if anyone knows me, they know I think Yoshihashi is one of the most underrated wrestlers going. I think the problem with him is because he was bad early in his career, people wrote him off. And unfortunately, they don't even give him a chance now. But he's so good in this role. I can't wait for it. And they also had a match last month, the elimination match, where Yoshihashi and Sanada had...
We talked about this one, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in that match, he looked great. And in these matches in the Super Juniors tour, he looks incredible. And I love that match. I love him. Goto brought a lot of fire. Goto and Evil. I thought that was some of the best Evil looks in that match. But yeah, I love that match. That crowd was awesome, that show. I thought it built great to the final. Like you said, Taguchi and Ospreay brought it down. I love the part, too, just the... you were talking about Taguchi mocking his opponents, but I also love when Ospreay started to do Taguchi's thing in the ring.
Yeah.
In his Ospreay's got a great personality for Japan, I feel like. Some things could be toned down, I feel like, but he's definitely on the right track, I think.
He is.
And like you said, this show was really good. The whole show up and down. I think a lot of people will probably skip it, but at least watch that 8-man tag with Chaos and the Ingobernables, because I thought Yoshihashi, Goto, Sanada, and Evil really stood out in that match, and the crowd was super into Naito and Okada.
Oh, I actually liked most of the matches on the show. Gotta say, Kojima and Elgin versus Omega and Bad Luck Fale was good. We had the Junior Legends, Liger, Tiger Mask, and Volador against the Junior Champions, Kushida, Ricochet, and Matt Sydal. Was a good match for the 9 minutes they got. We had the team of Red Bull, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Red Dragon, and Hiroyoshi Tenzan. You gotta say, Tenzan, he wasn't even supposed to be on this tour, but Tanahashi got hurt, and so the cards had to be changed, and Tenzan was called, and Tenzan went all out, really, on this tour. He even, on one occasion I know of, he did a moonsault press to win the match against Captain New Japan. Performances he usually only does during G1 week. And also, of course, Katsuyori Shibata and Yuji Nagata facing off here again. I gotta quickly go back to Shibata before talking about the tournament and the finals some more. There recently was a Tokyo Sports article. I don't know if I had mentioned this on this show already. But Shibata talked about that it's a shame. Well, that he feels ashamed about losing to Yuji Nagata. I think he only won one match against Nagata, and that one by countout, I believe. And he lost to Nagata at Dontaku again. And he told the story how he became a pro wrestler. He became a wrestler because of Yuji Nagata, because of a match he saw in 1995. On October 1995, Yuji Nagata and Tokimitsu Ishizawa against Kazushi Sakuraba and Hiromitsu Kanahara. That was the match that inspired Shibata to become a pro wrestler. And now it's all about him trying to win against one of the guys because of whom he became a pro wrestler. So this is another great story.
So what you're saying is that there is a possibility that before all this is said and done, that we see my hero personally, Kendo Kashin, back in New Japan facing Shibata, Shibata's hero, self-admitted hero, and inspiration.
I'm not confirming anything.
Okay, well, keep your eye on that one, people, because if that happens, that's what I want to see. If I ran New Japan, I would give Kendo Kashin a huge push, and I would have him beat Shibata, and hopefully we can get, it's good for all of us, I think, if the more kendo kata we have. We don't have enough in wrestling these days.
Sometimes I'm glad that you're not running New Japan, but that's a different story. I wanted to talk about the tournament in general. Last week we talked about our finalists, and I pretty much mapped out the way for Will Ospreay to the finals. And it exactly happened the way I mapped it out. Yeah. But I didn't think that Taguchi was going to reach the finals. But this is another example of how well laid out the tournaments of New Japan Pro Wrestling are. Because on the second to last day, it came down to Matt Sydal and Ryusuke Taguchi. Sydal beat Finlay, had 10 points, and then it was Taguchi against Gedo, and Taguchi beat Gedo, and he also went up to 10 points. But due to the fact that Taguchi beat Matt Sydal on the very first day of the Super Junior tournament, then Taguchi advanced to the finals. And it's just
really well done,
all worked out, and it was well done, and it led to this great final of Will Ospreay defeating Ryusuke Taguchi, and it was, as we said, really a great match. Ospreay, what I especially loved about this match was Ospreay selling his leg throughout the entire match. There was no point in that match where you had the impression that they just forgot about the leg selling, which is a point I always criticize about the big Dragon Gate matches. Mm. They just kept on doing that.
It was a lot different style, like I said earlier, than his match. And I think Ospreay's gotten kind of a bad rap just because of his style alone, in terms of selling, but so far, the results are positive, I think, on Ospreay in terms of his selling ability. And he did a great job here again. I really loved his match with Volador, which was a totally different style entirely than this Taguchi match. I just want to say one note on that match, because they had an absolutely incredible spot in this match when Volador went for his Spanish fly off the top rope.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I need to say. If you watched it, you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, you have to watch this match for that. I thought that was more impressive than anything he did in that Ricochet match. And it was really incredible. And this Taguchi match was just a total storytelling, total action, and total drama, really. There was a lot of drama and passion, as I said earlier, in this match. I thought Taguchi and Ospreay really brought it. And my question to you is, not to jump ahead too much, but what... After this performance in this tournament that Taguchi brought us, what do you see in his future? Because he could drop down very easily, even still after this. And it wouldn't be the end of the world, but do you think that he's impressed anyone in New Japan with his performance in this tournament?
You're talking about Taguchi, right?
Yeah, Taguchi.
I'm just looking at the Dominion card, and I don't think Taguchi is even on that card.
Yeah, that's a shame.
That's a real shame.
I don't understand it, but I can kind of understand it, because he's not been protected at all, especially in the last 6 months. But he's just done so well, it makes me feel so bad to think that he's just going to go right back down. And I think that's what a lot of the talk after this match was, questioning who should win and who will win. I think a lot of people that wanted Taguchi to win were just afraid that he was going to go down, and also that it makes such a natural story of Kushida beating Taguchi, the man who he lost his title to originally. But with Ospreay now in control, I think Taguchi is probably not going to get many chances to do these kind of matches again. And it's unfortunate, because one thing I don't hope that happens is he doesn't get these chances. He's back to doing his comedy shtick, and then everyone just starts to think he's crappy again, because that's not going to be fair. That's not going to be. I'm going to cry, people, if you do that. But do not.
Yeah, I think people have seen how good Taguchi is and will accept it more than they did before if he goes back to the comedy deal he's doing, because I think a lot of people thought he was doing that because he isn't a good wrestler, but people
they were wrong.
yeah, people now see that isn't the case. But yeah, I think he's going to be somewhat relegated down to opening second match level for some time now. He has had his run in the best of the Super Juniors now, and he could have of course gotten the win, but I think he had a great showing in the tournament nonetheless.
Yeah.
Even without winning, would have been great for him to once again win the tournament, but he's 37 years old now, and seeing that Liger still performs in the tournament at the age of 50, I don't think that anything is over for Takuchi right now. So I think he still has the chance to get a junior title run or a junior title shot down the line in a few years.
And Osprey winning provides a great match anyway, too.
Yeah. So let's go to the Dominion card. Full Dominion card was announced, I think, yesterday. We're taping this on Friday, of course. We have the Jay White send-off match. Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Manabu Nakanishi, the third generation, aka the Dad's Club, against Jay White, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay. Of course, Jay White going to Ring of Honor on his excursion. If you want to say if you want to jump in, just jump in for any match I'm mentioning on the undercard.
I'm gonna be sad to see Jay go, because to me he added so much in his time with New Japan. Just speaking on the tournament a little bit, Finlay had a great run.
Of course,
very well respected. But I actually thought of the two, and watching these two for years, I thought White was the better of the two. But they're supposed to still great. But the point is, I'm going to be so sad when he heads to Ring of Honor, because I worry for his future in that company, as we've seen with Watanabe, also known as Evil, when he went. He should have time because he speaks English, but that company right now is just such a dumpster fire to me, Ring of Honor. I don't know if you've watched any of their shows recently, but I don't want to see anyone good in Ring of Honor right now.
I haven't watched anything past War of the Worlds.
The point is, I don't want to see people like him in Ring of Honor. I think he's gonna, his potential has a very high likelihood of being wasted. But regardless, whatever his plans are for the future, I hope that he can continue to grow. I think we're gonna see a different side of him, much like we've seen with the other people that go on excursions. And I'm interested to see how he grows from his Young Lion style that he has. I will say that much. But in this match, I hope that I'm sure that'll be a nice celebration. Obviously, the Dad's Club is a great way to the great people to send him off with.
Yeah.
And I hope he comes back one day. I hope he comes back one day, new and improved. I don't know if he will.
The upside of him going away is that I expect him to be back as a heavyweight prospect next year.
Yeah. A lot of people were talking about that, too. They were saying, why wasn't White in the Best of the Super Juniors?
But because of that.
Yes, exactly. As we outlined, he has all the makings of a heavyweight potential. I hope if he doesn't get signed to WWE or anything like that, I think he could come back and he could make a real impact in the heavyweight division. It's just a fresh face, a fresh Gaijin face. And I'm really looking. I believe that's a dark match, though.
It's supposed to be the match, the match number zero. But of course, these matches are always televised on the.
Yes, exactly.
On the show.
But, Just to move on really quickly, just to check in. What is up with Adam Page's new name in this match I'm reading?
I haven't watched any Ring of Honor as of late, and I haven't checked on the reason behind the name, so I don't know. But he's not Adam Page. He's Hangman Page.
Hangman Page.
Yeah.
Boy.
So I can't tell anything because I haven't watched Ring of Honor as of late. As I
his match said. Is just. I was almost about to make a very tasteless joke, but this match looks brutal that he's in the opener on this show. Just I could not imagine. We talked last week about a team less stylistically pleasing to me than Marufuji and Yano. I think both of these teams in this match would prove me wrong from last week here. But go ahead and list it out.
Well, yeah, we have Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi, and Hangman Page going against Togi Makabe, Yoshitatsu, and Captain New Japan, which is kind of interesting. Togi Makabe back, Tomoaki Honma not.
Oh, no, yeah. I just noticed that. Oh, my God.
And there hasn't been anything in the news about Honma as of late, so don't know what's up there. But yeah, another match on the card, which will be, I think, your favorite match of the night. Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi against Sanada and Bushi.
I'm really looking forward to this match, in all seriousness. I don't know if it'll be my favorite of the night, but I think that the finish of this could go a lot of ways. As you said, Yoshihashi's been on the losing end to Sanada in most of these matches. I think that this match... I strongly believe both men should be in the G1. But...
I expect
this match. Yeah, I think we all expect it. But I think this match can go one of two ways. Either Yoshihashi pins Sanada, or Sanada taps out Yoshihashi, and then the other would beat the other, you know, the winner in the G1 tournament. Or they continue the feud with Yoshihashi and Sanada and have them brawl while Ishii gets a win over Bushi. Because I think one thing that you'll notice about this match is that the last we saw of Ishii in a prominent role, he had an amazing title to challenge against Naito, and yes. Now he's the second match in on the card, teaming with Yoshihashi, which is expected. And this will be a good match. I fully expect it to be a good match. All four men are capable, but I think it feels to me like he's already kind of lost in the shuffle. And in this match, Ishii's really been the least focused on person in the Super Juniors of these four, and. That's kind of a shame after his great title defense, but it was expected. So really, I just expect a great match out of these four. And like I said, I think the finish has a lot of interest to it, and I think it'll say something for G1 if Sanada or Yoshihashi take out the other.
Yeah, I expect a great match as well. I don't know which way it will go, but we'll see. And another match on this Chaos vs. Lost Ingobernables feud is, of course, Hiroki Goto against Evil. Possibly with Goto taking his win back, and those two maybe mixing it up again in the G1.
I have to say, even though Evil has shown a little bit in these matches, he's good at times, I'm really not interested in this feud at all. I think it's a real waste of Goto, actually. Like, as we saw, their last match, I wasn't impressed by really any of their matches. To be honest with you, outside of his New Japan Cup match, Evil, I really haven't been impressed with Evil at all in his run. I think his gimmick is really cringeworthy, to be honest with you. I know some people like Evil's gimmick and a lot of his bells and whistles of his entrance, but to me, I just think this match is going to have a lot of screwy stuff as the last one. I do think Goto will get his win back at least. And as you said, I think this will also prelude the G1 in some ways. What do you think of Goto and Chaos and how he's fit in?
The funny thing about Goto and Chaos is that Chaos is usually wildly cheered by the New Japan audience. And every time Goto is tagged in, Goto gets booed.
I feel so sorry for him.
Goto gets booed because the people are just confused about the way Goto got to Chaos, which was by losing to the leader of Chaos and just then bowing down to the quote-unquote king.
It goes against his character so much, yeah. Of his samurai style that he has.
Totally.
I think his character really doesn't really get to a lot of Western fans as much as it does to local Japanese fans, or his character as it was. Like you said, that totally went against everything he's kind of stood for. And I feel bad for him because he's really, and we talked about it a couple of times, but he's had no favors done for him from Gato and company. But he still works really hard in these in the tag matches and stuff. So I look forward to him continuing to work hard, at least. I can't imagine his crowd reaction will change unless something changes with him a lot of people predicted that he wouldn't be in Chaos for long, but he really just seems to be odd man out, much like Ishii right now. And my one criticism of this card, really, is Goto's in this match with Evil, and Ishii's kind of like the fourth man in his tag match. That's such a great potential tag team, I feel like, Goto and Ishii. I think about this more than I should, but I really feel like because they're both odd men out right now, so... And yeah. We'll get to the tag title match later, but I think they would add great value to the tag division as a team, much more than they're doing feuding with Evil or not doing anything, like Ishii.
Well, going back to Evil, I gotta say I like Evil. I think he did show good performances in his matches. But as you said, the character itself, it may be too one-dimensional to be a full-time character. Maybe they have to reinvent.
I hate the name. Too. I don't
yeah,
think
the name is cringeworthy as well, and yeah. Cringeworthy is as well as that that this gimmick name is also the name of his finisher, which is weird.
Yes. And it's a cool move.
When Evil pins the opponent after the Evil.
Well, yes, that was equally cringeworthy. Evil pinning him with the Evil. I don't understand who came up with that, but I thought you missed an epic transition opportunity there because what I thought you were going to say that just as cringeworthy as the Evil's name. Is the proportion of multi-man tag team matches for the junior heavyweight tag titles.
Yeah. We have Ricochet and Matt Sydal defending against Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, against Rocky Romero and Beretta, and Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson in their comeback in a four-way elimination match, which at least provides the opportunity of a good two-on-two showdown.
Yeah.
But after showcasing the junior talent on this tour, on the Best of the Super Junior Tour, so well, they just go back to having these multi-man tag matches.
For no reason. What is the purpose of this?
I have no idea. I think just to get them all on the card, and which is fine. And I think it's going to be a spectacular match, but it's just the same old, same old. On this note, and maybe also on the Adam Page note, I noticed that there were some people on Twitter. I don't know if it really was a giant debate, but I read some tweets that were complaining about foreigners on the New Japan cards.
Mm.
I know that I can understand that when you watch Japanese wrestling, you watch it because of the Japanese wrestlers. I can understand that. But it's not like any of the guys that are brought in are taking away opportunities from the Japanese wrestlers. You just name one guy who's right now suffering from a foreigner being on the card. The guys we have on the cards are always either in the undercard matches or they're transitioned to main event level, like Tomohiro Ishii was in May. He's now back to being on the second match of the show. But they always change it up on the cards. And we have many foreigners on the card, but you have to see that 8 foreigners alone are in one match. And you just can't go and say and add it up and say there are so many Japanese wrestlers on the card and there are so many foreigners on the card because it just doesn't add up that way if you have 8 wrestlers, 8 foreigners in one match. And if we are doing the adding up, I just randomly picked the 1986 New Japan roster, my birth year. I counted 79 wrestlers and 37 of them were non-Japanese, so that's almost 50% back then. And as I tweeted this week, if you go back to the 80s and 90s and to who were some of the greatest stars in Japanese wrestling, you will find names like Stan Hansen, you will find names like Big Van Vader, you will find names like Dory Funk and Terry Funk, all foreigners, giant stars in Japan. And on that matter too, I talked to 3 people I know in Japan from Twitter. One of them is from the UK, 2 of them are Japanese. And I asked them directly, is this a debate you have in Japan? And they all said, no, That's not a matter we talk about in Japan. Because they said, you know what we want to see? It's great wrestling. And we really don't care where the guys that are performing the great wrestling are coming from. We just want to enjoy great wrestling. I don't know, Dylan, what's your take on that?
I really don't care about foreigners versus natives. Like you said, this has been something that's happened literally since the beginning of pro res, like back in the 50s. So that's not an issue with me. My problem is with some of their choices and talent they bring in personally, like Hangman Page, Young Bucks,
but it's not like that. That Adam Page is taking the spot of any Japanese guy.
No. I think that's an unfair criticism to have. Really, the only person I think you can make that argument for would be Omega.
As he's in a
prominent position right now. I'm not a fan of his at all, as I'm sure we'll get into. But he's a native, though. Like, not a native of Japan, but he's practically one of their own. He's been there for so long. He speaks Japanese. You know, he's not an American. It's not like he wrestles in America, is what I'm trying to say, you know, or in another country. He wrestles in Japan full time. And as we're seeing Elgin start to get there as well. So that, to me, even that really isn't an issue to me. Like you said, I think the most important thing is that these guys deliver in the ring. And as long as they do that, not even the juniors, I think really it's more like we were saying, these stupid elimination matches that we keep having, and or not elimination matches, but multi-man matches. I think people just want to see a basic match between them that's not necessarily Americanized. That's another point, too. I think a bigger issue could be that the style has become a bit more... when people think of Japanese wrestling, I think a lot of people still kind of think of, like, All Japan, like 90s All Japan. And this product that we have now is much more Americanized than that, I would say. But New Japan's always done a lot of gimmicky kind of stuff sometimes. Even back to, like, the Makai Club and back to 1987 when they brought in Beat Takeshi for an angle.
They even did the Super Machine gimmick with Andre in the 80s, so...
Yeah, like I said, Beat Takeshi coming in was in 87.
Yeah.
And, like, so that's really when all that started. And they've done stuff like that for many, many different times in their history. So I think people, like you said, I think a lot of people just want an alternative to American wrestling. And they're not looking at the bigger picture when they see that, which I can kind of understand. But I think it's more the product and its booking style itself than necessarily... foreigner talent or not, but regardless, it's not an issue. I think people who call that as an issue are misguided.
It's very much an issue among Western fans,
not among Japanese fans.
That's just the point I'm always getting to. And also, you said, of course, it's a little bit westernized right now. The product is, but
still,
when the guys come to Japan, like Will Ospreay did, or like Kyle O'Reilly, like Juice Robinson, they adapt the Japanese style. Or even if they go to the dojo, like David Finlay and Jay White did, they adapt the style of Japanese wrestling. They learn the style from there. They mix it up with their own style. And mixing up styles, mixing up talent is the best thing you can do in wrestling. It has always been the best thing you can do.
I would love to have more of an influence from British wrestlers and UK stars. I'd love to have some more luchadors used well, like we saw with Mascara Dorada. He got totally wasted. But, you know, I would love to see all these different styles converge together. And like I said, I don't think that's necessarily a problem. I think people like or factions like the Bullet Club and even Ingobernables, even though they're natives, I think there will be detractors of that style. It's just because of how it is. And like you said, when it's someone like Jay White or Finlay, they wrestle a very Japanese style. I don't think anybody criticizes Jay White or Finlay. I've never seen anyone criticize those two people. That's what I think it's more than anything. If someone thinks that, if someone's steadfast that says there it needs to be more Japanese people, specifically, I think they're very misguided.
Yeah, there was just something I needed to get off my chest, because I was really upset with all the discussions I had about quote-unquote foreigners in Japan.
Even Osprey, there's not, you know, unless you're just someone who, but besides, you know, some all that debate that happened last week, most everyone thinks Osprey is a positive addition to New Japan.
Yeah.
And they're right.
Yeah, he very much is, and he's a contracted guy to them now, so obviously they are behind him.
And yeah, exactly.
That's all there is to say from my point of view. And as you mentioned, Will Ospreay, we got to get going here a little bit faster than right now. The junior heavyweight title match, Kushida versus Will Ospreay. What do you see happening here?
I think I will say this. I'm going to have a little bit of criticism here because, as we talked about before the tournament started, I personally think that building Kushida up as a top star should be a priority. As the ace of this division. I always thought that. And I know that his losses ended up could serve a story later on, and it built up challenges for him. But as we'll talk about, maybe, time permitting, later, when you go with a guy and make him the ace of a division, much like in All Japan with Kento Miyahara, or I feel like telling stories is great and building up challenges is great. But to me, what's even better is building stars. And Kushida did not become a star because of that tournament. I don't think he was protected enough. I think in the end, although he's a champion, although he was a main player, he's still in the same pack. He's still just a junior at this point. And I think they failed if that was the goal, if a goal was to protect him. I think that this could go either way, really. I think before the tournament, I would think Kushida would win for sure. As of now, with Ospreay and his buzz and his push, I think, as we saw, even New Japan put his match with Ricochet on YouTube for free and on World for free. So I think they're very much behind Ospreay right now. I think this is really a 50-50 toss-up kind of match, but if I had to pick, I think that Ospreay is going to win. And Kushida could still go into the G1, as has been talked about. But I think they're going to want to build to Ospreay versus Ricochet at a bigger stage.
Yeah. Well, I actually think they didn't go in with the idea to protect Kushida.
Clearly not.
I think they went in with the mind that it was the same thing that they did with Okada when he won the G1 for the second time.
Yeah.
When he was champion and lost in the G1, I think that was 2013. He lost matches in the G1 and then got his wins back. And I think that's the direction they are going with Kushida, that he has to prove that he is this junior ace.
I think this is a totally different scenario than the heavyweight champion. We've seen the junior title, we've seen the junior division treated like crap for years and years.
Well, yeah, of course.
And they're just now getting back to something to where they're. It's not a total, you know, afterthought. They
right.
need someone like that right now more than the heavyweight division did. I think that. That's my opinion.
That's why I think that Kushida is beating Ospreay again, which wouldn't hurt Ospreay since he just won the Super Junior tournament.
I hope he wins.
And the scenario I have for that is that Kushida is beating all the guys that beat him in the best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah.
And that this builds up to another challenge from Ospreay, maybe at the Tokyo Dome, maybe with Ricochet added to a three-way match. So
I don't want that.
That could easily happen with Ghetto's booking.
It could.
And that Ospreay wins the belt then, and not right now at Dominion, because I don't see Kushida's reign ending right now. Wouldn't be the right call, I think.
But if he were to enter, like I said, if as he is now with the way he's booked. If he enters G1, like as was talked about, heavily rumored and bantered about, he's not going to be a featured player at all. Like he's not ready for that, you know, and he's not been built up for that.
No.
So to me, what does that help if something like that happens? How does that help the division? If Kushida, even if he beats Ospreay, if he comes in and just wins, I know I'm thinking ahead. He may not even be in G1, but I think. I really just believe that this division needed someone to really stand tall, really build things back up to where not only would he be a serious star, a main event player as a junior, but whoever would beat him would then receive that rub. And I think that would really help the division being built around, whether it be Ospreay or Kamitachi or Ricochet. That's just my feeling on it. I'm kind of disappointed in that, but I do think this would be a great match. I hope Kushida wins, but I could see Ospreay and Ricochet being built for a bigger stage because not because of booking, just because of all the buzz that their match got. And clearly, they weren't expecting that. I don't think they were planning on releasing that match for free.
No, but it was a great call.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was a very smart business move on their side. But I think it really took them by surprise, and I could see them. Because it is the junior title, it's not a main event title. I think they still don't think that. And I could see Ospreay winning. But I do hope Kushida wins. I think Kushida's a great wrestler. Yeah. Even if Ospreay wins, I'm not really bothered. Either way, whoever wins this match, even though I am disappointed with the booking, I think that this will be a great match. And both men are deserving when you think about it.
Really, it's really true that both men are deserving, but we have to get going here. I'm really short on time right now due to my internet connection failing me once again, so we have to
Don't tell anyone.
Go through these matches. We got Tangaloa and Tama Tonga against the Briscoe brothers. We got Yuji Nagata against Katsuyori Shibata. We got Kenny Omega against Michael Elgin, and then the match for the heavyweight championship, Tetsuya Naito against Katsushika Okada. Quickly, your picks for these matches.
I think the Gorillas will win. Shout out to Tama Tonga. I listened to your first show, the Tiki Bar. I loved hearing your pops and all your stories. I think Shibata's going to beat Nagata here. I think that the way they built this story up, I think Shibata's going to be a player in G1. But that really is my most anticipated match on the show, I have to say, Shibata and Nagata. I think their storyline is awesome.
Yeah.
Not just with his interviews, but just their interactions on the tour recently. That's my favorite feud in this company right now. I think they've done a great job. I think Omega will beat Elgin, obviously. I think that match, I have no interest in that match, to be honest with you. I think it's just going to be
It's going to be a total sports entertainment ladder match.
Yeah.
That's going to be it.
I don't even like those in America. So I definitely don't want to see one with Omega and Elgin. The main event, I can't imagine Okada wins this. But I think the most interesting point of this match will be the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
As we've seen, Okada was cold for a while, but he started to heat up with these multi-man matches.
Totally.
And I think, yeah, he's back on track. I hope their match can deliver. I really wasn't. I know their match was popular in April. And I think it was a great moment, but I wasn't a huge fan of the match itself. I thought Ishii's match was much better, and I hopefully Okada can redeem himself to me, at least, being an egomaniac and all. But hopefully this match is a great match, and I think that the crowd reaction will be telling going forward in the future as well. Much like the matches that set up G1, I think this match, just based on crowd reaction, will set up a lot of will tip their hand of where they're going in the future.
Yeah, mostly same picks for me. Just I enjoyed the Tiki Bar as well, but I can see the Briscoe brothers taking the tag team title. It's going to be a great card, definitely. Sorry that we had to cut this preview a little bit short, but we have another topic to talk about, and we need to talk about this, because All Japan Pro Wrestling had a sellout at Korakuen Hall with almost 1,500 fans, and they had really three outstanding matches, with the junior heavyweight title match, Atsushi Aoki defeating Masashi Takeda. We had Yuji Okabayashi beating Zeus, and in the main event, Kento Miyahara defending the Triple Crown against Daisuke Sekimoto. And Dylan, tell me why Zeus versus Yuji Okabayashi was the greatest match you've ever seen.
Because Yuji Okabayashi is an amazing wrestler, of course. But yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Maybe not the greatest match I've ever seen, but it was
a little bit exaggerated, maybe. A little bit.
Yeah, it was a hoss battle between these two. And this whole show, this to me is one of my three favorite shows of the year, up and down. I love this card from Mashimo versus Jake Lee all the way to
that was so good.
Yes. Mashimo's killing it. Lee's awesome. Nomura and Hikaru Sato had a great tag match with Ishikawa and Sai. They even had the Rangers on the show. Ayagi, Iri, Nakajima, and Akiyama, blue, green, red, and white, doing the honors for the Axe Bomber team of Yankee Tukenju and
I'm an Axe Bomber guy.
Yeah, me too. I love Omori. But that match was great fun. Then we had Okabayashi and Zeus Haas battle extraordinaire. These guys did exactly, if you're familiar with these two, they had the best possible version of what they do together, and it was amazing. Aoki and Takeda, the junior title match. I love Takeda's hair.
I think most he looks great.
Yes. Aoki's awesome right now. It's funny because All Japan's not really known. I think they're known even to their fans more for their heavyweight, the triple crown title scene. But Aoki's done a very admirable job carrying the junior title, as well as in the Champions Carnival. He represented well, too.
He did, and really defending it against all comers from the outside.
Yeah.
Recently in May against Kaji Tomato, now against Masashi Takeda. Possibly, I don't know. All Japan hasn't announced the name for the Super J Cup. Possibly, and I am representing All Japan there too.
Yeah, I think it would have to be Aoki or Ultimo, just for nostalgia's sake. But I would much rather it be Aoki, to say the least. Although I like Old Man Ultimo.
Yeah,
Aoki's awesome, and he's done a great job this year. And obviously, that main event was a very great match. I thought. Miyahara and Sekimoto, and I have to say this, before we get into this match, break this down technically or whatever, I really feel like, if you look at the show, I think, you mentioned the sellout, I think that All Japan, I think that the person running this, which we're led to believe is Akiyama and friends, that have the say, I think this is really the best booked promotion in Japan, and I think they made a lot of smart moves. And like you said, bringing in outsiders, not just booked in terms of matchmaking, but booked in terms of who they bring in.
Yeah.
And who they work with. They've done so many smart things in the last few months.
I was gonna get to that exact point, too, because they have so much great young talent, like for example, you mentioned Naoya Nomura, Yuma Aoyagi. Plus, they bring in this outside talent, like Katsuhiro Tamura, who recently won the... Gaora TV Championship. They have Koji Iwamoto, a great guy. On Twitter, I mentioned the name this past week, and some people said, yeah, man, this is a prospect you really have to look out for. Great guy. And Masashi Takeda also. Some big Japan guys are getting their spotlight there, like Yoshihisa Uto. And but before the main event, I quickly have to... And also they have the cooperation with Ruchi Sai's new project, yeah. Pro Wrestling Land's End, of which I have the results now at Cage Match.
Check that out.
Back to the matches we talked about. Aoki versus Takeda. If you see Takeda, you see this deathmatch guy. And on Japanese commentary, they are known as deathmatch fighters. They are not known as wrestlers. Deathmatch fighters.
Yeah.
But this Takeda guy, with all the scars he has, he's still a great wrestler, and you saw that in the match with Aoki. They had a great ground battle, a great submission battle in their match. And totally different from that was Okabayashi and Zeus. They had the manliest lock-up of all time at the beginning of the match and just had a super power battle in their match. It was just amazing. It was just an amazing match. And also, I don't think it was as amazing as Okabayashi versus Zeus, but still a great match. Kento Miyahara versus Sekimoto. There was this one moment where they exchanged lariats and kicks, and Kento Miyahara went down swinging, and when he went down, he tried to grab the referee, almost like an MMA fighter that gets knocked down, gets back up, and tries to grab the referee because he doesn't know where he is. That was a great moment, I thought.
That was a great moment in the match, Strigger. I loved Miyahara's selling here. He has a great punch-drunk kind of fighting spirit, so, like, I'm trying to fire up, but I can't. And
we just saw, I just love the desperation in Miyahara in this match. Really, we saw a lot of great moments here. Even from the very beginning, I loved their opening when Sekimoto was about to go for a chop in the ropes, and Miyahara did a block pose, and then they had a back and forth that ended with a standoff that's been done a million times, but they did it in their own unique way, and it looked great. And right then, I knew that this match was going to be something great. I loved... even Miyahara also had a great sell when he hit his apron DDT midway through the match. Sekimoto was in control for much of the early portion, and Miyahara countered with an apron DDT, and he just kind of stumbled to the mat outside, and he started shaking his arm and cocking his neck. Miyahara is just awesome. Next level seller. Sekimoto was great here. The crowd was super hot from the start for both men, it seemed like, to me. And the finishing run of this match, I cannot describe how great I thought this was. Miyahara was going for the shutdown German.
Oh, yeah.
And Sekimoto hit out of... This was totally unexpected if you're watching this match. And he comes with a back headbutt.
That was tonight. So great, yeah.
Yes, it was. It was an amazing moment. And then he unleashes a flurry of his slaps on Miyahara. This was incredible. And it ends, and then Miyahara had a, it was totally out of nowhere. Miyahara is so great at hitting his, blackout knee, when you least expect it, because it looked like Sekimoto was chopping him down, and Miyahara just hit it out of nowhere. And the finishing run was awesome. The last, 20 to 30 seconds of this match was the best of the year, hands down to me.
Definitely. Was a great
match. Yeah. It really was. And I have to say this, because a lot of talk's been going on Twitter and online about the mid-year awards. And to me, if you talk about a true wrestler of the year in terms of being an MVP candidate, I think Miyahara is so underrated not as a wrestler, but as a champion. I think if he had not gotten his push when he did, I don't think this company would be on the right track like it is right now. I think his push has played a significant role in that. And he doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion. I think he's an amazing wrestler, as we saw from his match with Omori, to the Carnival, to this match. He, to me, has been the MVP of Japanese wrestling in terms of a true champion. And I love this match. I love Miyahara. Sekimoto's great. He's yet to really receive it's funny because he's yet to receive a true championship spotlight this year, but Sekimoto just, in any situation you put him in, he adds his brand, he adds something. And also a great moment when, Miyahara, after he hit the blackout knee, I just want to go back to this real quick, because I just remembered this. When he lifted him up for the shutdown German, he pulled his tights so hard, it was the most exaggerated tights pull I've ever seen.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah, it was such a desperate moment. It was such a great, and then even after the match, Miyahara again, just what I was talking about as a champion, he cut a really great fiery promo afterwards that riled the crowd up. I think Miyahara is just an amazing performer right now. Like, and he gets praised a lot, but I still think he's kind of underrated. I think just a great champion. I cannot wait for his match with Mashimo. His match with Mashimo is my favorite match of the year. Thus far, the Champions Carnival match.
We're getting that match again. Quickly,
I
think you can make a case for Miyahara being the MVP, and you can also, I think, make a case for Yuji Okabayashi making MVP, because he's the champion in Big Japan right now. He's on a roll in All Japan, as we mentioned, against Zeus. He just became the Wrestle One Tag Team Champion, so he's all over the place.
I think he would be a great challenger for Miyahara.
I think, maybe.
But it would cause political, parts of the map.
So you mentioned the card, which has Kento Miyahara against Kengo Mashimo. Quickly running down the card that we have for June 15. Masanobu Fuchi, Sushi, Osamu Nishimura and Yoruji Hijikata against Ultimo Dragon, Atsushi Maruyama, Soba Takao and Kaji Tomato. We have the X-Bombers, Takao Mori, Isami Kodaka, and Yuko Miyamoto against Evolution, Atsushi Aoki, Hikaru Sato, and Naoya Nomura. We have Ruji Sai and Jake Lee against Shuji Ishikawa and Masashi Takeda. Very interesting match. We have the debut of Konosuke Takeshita and Tetsuya Endo from DDT. They are facing Jun Akiyama and Yuma Aoyagi. We have the rematch for the Gaora TV Championship. Champion Katsuhiro Tamura going against Yohei Nakajima, who lost the belt to Tamura this week. Then we have the All Japan World Tag Team title match, Zeus and the Bodyguard against Strong BJ, Yuji Kobayashi, and Daisuke Sekimoto.
And, oh, you're going to love that match.
Oh, yeah. And the main event, as I mentioned, Kento Miyahara against Kengo Mashimo. That's going to be a great, great show, definitely. And I hope another great gate for All Japan.
God, I love All Japan right now. This is my favorite company, hands down.
As I mentioned, we are short on time, but there is one thing you wanted to talk about because you love the match as well.
Yeah.
We have a couple more minutes before I actually have to get going. But it's your place time now to talk about Mr. Gonosuke against Daisuke from Guts World from their May 8 Kuroken Hall show.
Guts World. I was so happy that we do get these last few minutes to talk about this, because I wanted to talk about this for a while now. But on the show, this was Guts World's Kuroken Hall show, a big show of the year, obviously. And the main event was obviously Daisuke. Daisuke, for those who don't know him, those who don't follow Guts World, he's an incredible technical wrestler. And someone who builds great stories in his matches, along with Yoshino in Guts World as well. And Gonosuke here, he's very old, obviously, well past his prime, but he can work this kind of storytelling and technical style match well. As we saw here, there's a constant story of Daisuke attacking Gonosuke's leg, while Gonosuke obviously attacked Daisuke's arm.
Yeah.
And the Guts crew, Dim, Yoshino, and Gonosuke, do this style so well. Obviously, Gonosuke hit some Hayabusa tribute moves like the Falcon Arrow at one point.
He even called out the name of Hayabusa while doing
it. Yeah, it was such a great moment when he did that. That just made me smile, just as a fan, because everyone knows the connection between Gonosuke and Hayabusa,
yeah.
And that was just a great moment. Daisuke really worked hard here in terms of moving around, keeping things going. He bumped really hard. And he made him look great, Gonosuke, just by his, not by his look, but in terms of his movement and his actions, he looked right there, and there was a great moment by the end of the match where Gonosuke finally, because he'd been working over the arm a lot of the time, and, Daisuke went after the leg, and when he went for a leg move, Gonosuke had a great counter, a smooth counter right into the Gonosuke clutch, which was a great near fall. And by the end of the match, it transitioned into more of a traditional big pro-wrest style match. Gonosuke hit his finishers. He hit a big power bomb, and he threw everything at Daisuke to take him out, and he hit two Fire Thunder drivers. And he won the title, super emotional style here. It went a little long, but with Gonosuke's age, I couldn't imagine this being turning out better than it did. And I think Daisuke, speaking of wildly underrated, as a wrestler, he and Yoshino deserve so much more credit than they get for fans who discount Guts World. And it's true that they're an indie promotion, but their main events are so good.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're so consistent also.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope, if you haven't seen Guts World, please watch this match. I'm sure, you've seen Gonosuke. He's a familiar face.
Yeah.
But check out Daisuke here. And Gonosuke winning, I thought, was the right move, too, all things considered. It was at their big show. It doesn't have to be a long title reign or anything,
no.
But but just for an emotional moment, this is what makes me happy as a fan. Like, we're not thinking about things, not everything has to be thought out months in advance. This was just a great moment.
It was.
And it was just a great match, and I know you felt the same, Strick.
I thought the same, and you said they went a little long. I didn't think they went really long because, they went 33 minutes, but as you mentioned, they are so good at their style.
Yeah.
And so consistent. This is another crew of guys that is really consistent on their selling. They don't forget to sell the part of the body they are being worked over. And also in this match, Daisuke and Gonosuke sold their quote unquote injuries very well in this match, and so I was so into the match, and when it was over,
me
I was
too.
Surprised that it went over 30 minuts. And Guts World, a great promotion to check out. And well, on that note, Dylan, we talked about basically everything we wanted to squeeze into our show this week. Where can people find you online?
I'm on my website, prowrestspirit.net. You can check out all the news from my buddy Charles. He runs it, and you can see me on Twitter at DylanZeroPS. And obviously, I want to make sure to comment to me and Strigger as well about the show. We love hearing what everybody thinks about the matches and the comments. I'm sorry we couldn't have... I also would like to call out to the listeners as well. Send us more random questions about Japan.
Please do.
And hopefully about women as well.
Yeah.
But you go, Strigger.
All right. You can find me, of course, at purolove.com. You can find me at Twitter at STRIGGA, at Strigger, and also at cagematch.net. And this week on Cagematch, I added a new Japanese promotion from the Hiroshima/Osaka region by the name of Duff Pro Wrestling, which is really an interesting promotion, and I hope to get more into Duff Pro as I did the results archives for Cagematch. I saw some videos right now, and I'm going to watch the show they did at last year's 24-hour pro wrestling, the Indie Summit. They had a show there, and I hope to get into this show. A very interesting promotion, certainly a mix of wrestling, punk rock, and club style. They are doing shows in nightclubs, and really interesting deal. So yeah, check that out too. Check us out on Twitter and on our respective pages. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.